The Boss. Yeah, that's what we're doing tonight. Springsteen music, huh? You can handle that, can't you? I hope so. Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. It was 7 years ago today that the President's Daily Briefing talked about bin Laden determined to strike in the United States. Are you aware of that? 7 years. Because of the inaction on the part of George W. Bush, it was the President's Daily Briefing, not the Vice President's, not the Secretary of Defense, not the Secretary of State, not the janitors. It was the President's Daily Briefing. And because Bush did nothing, about a month, well, if you total up the number of dead people as a result of the inaction on the part of George W. Bush, the numbers are astonishing. 3,000 dead in the attacks on this country, closer to 3,500. 4,200 American service members. Tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians. Untold thousands of Afghan civilians, soldiers from the so-called coalition of the willing, a few from this country, a few from that country. The number is staggering when you consider that it all could have been avoided had George Bush responded to the Presidential Daily Briefing of August 6th, 2001. From the 9/11 Commission report, this: two CIA analysts involved in preparing the briefing article believed it represented an opportunity to communicate their view that the threat of a bin Laden attack in the United States remained both current and serious. The result was an article in the August 6 Presidential Daily Brief titled "Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S." It was the 36th Presidential Daily Brief item so far that year that related to bin Laden or al-Qaeda. It was the first devoted to the possibility of attack on the United States. In testimony, the president told us the August 6th report was historical in nature. President Bush said the article told him that al-Qaeda was dangerous, which he said he had known since he had become president. The president said bin Laden had long been talking about his desire to attack America. He recalled some operational data on the FBI and remembered thinking it was heartening that 70 investigations were underway. As best as he could recollect, Secretary Rice had mentioned that the Yemeni surveillance of a federal building in New York had been looked into in May and June, but there was no actionable intelligence. Bush did not recall discussing the August 6th report with the Attorney General or whether Condoleezza Rice had done so. He said that if his advisors had told him there was a cell in the United States, they would have moved to take care of it. That never happened. If his advisors had told him. Here's what it said. Clandestine foreign government and media reports indicate bin Laden since 1997 has wanted to conduct terrorist attacks in the U.S. Bin Laden implied in U.S. television interviews in 1997 and 1998 that his followers would follow the example of World Trade Center bomber Ramzi Youssef and, quote, bring the fighting to America, end quote. After U.S. missile strikes on his base in Afghanistan in 1998, bin Laden told followers he wanted to retaliate in Washington, according to a redacted service. An Egyptian Islamic Jihad operative told a redacted service at the same time that bin Laden was planning to exploit the operative's access to the U.S. to mount a terrorist attack. The Millennium Plotting in Canada in 1999 may have been part of bin Laden's first serious attempt to implement a terrorist strike in the U.S. Convicted plotter Ahmed Rassam has told the FBI that he conceived the idea to attack Los Angeles International Airport himself, but that bin Laden attendant, Lieutenant Abu Zubaydah, encouraged him and helped him facilitate the operation. Rassam also said that in 1998, Abu Zubaydah was planning his own U.S. attack. Rassam says bin Laden was aware of the Los Angeles operation. Although bin Laden has not succeeded, his attacks against the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998 demonstrate that he prepares operations years in advance and is not deterred by setbacks. Bin Laden associates surveilled our embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam as early as 1993, and some members of the Nairobi cell planning the bombings were arrested and deported in 1997. Al-Qaeda members, including some who are U.S. citizens, have resided in or traveled to the U.S. for years, and the group apparently maintains a support structure that could aid attacks. Two Al-Qaeda members found guilty in the conspiracy to bomb our embassies in East Africa were U.S. citizens, and a senior EIJ member lived in California in the mid-1990s. A clandestine source said in 1998 that bin Laden's cell in New York was recruiting Muslim American youth for attacks. We have not been able to corroborate some of the more sensational threat reporting, such as that from a redacted service in 1998, saying that bin Laden wanted to hijack a U.S. aircraft to gain the release of blind Sheikh Umar Abd al-Rahman and other U.S.-held extremists. And it goes on. But as Bush said, if somebody just would have told me that there were cells... A clandestine source said in 1998 that bin Laden's cell in New York was recruiting Muslim American youth for attacks. It's astonishing. Every single death that occurred on September 11th, 2001, and subsequent to that day, that has involved any sort of response on the part of the United States, including the deaths of civilians in two countries that we know of, and God knows how many other countries that we don't know about. Our military, the militaries of other countries, all of it, every single bit, every single death is directly responsible, is a direct responsibility of George W. Bush's, for one simple reason. The stupid bastard did not pay attention to the PDB. Well, if anybody told me it was a shell, and the part of the President's daily brief on that particular day specifically said that bin Laden had been operating a cell in New York since 1998. So how do you, how does the President of the United States, unless he is just completely insane, how does he make jokes? We find the weapons over there? Are they over here? Where are the weapons? The weapons of mass destruction. We find them over there? No? Where are they? Are they over here? Oh, I don't know. Maybe they're over there. Maybe a dog can find them. Make jokes about it. Kidnap people. Rendition people, torture people, destroy the Constitution, set up death camps and torture camps for individuals unlucky enough to fall into the clutches of private contractors now working for the CIA or the CIA itself. All of this blood and destruction, all of the hatred and distrust now directed at the United States, a direct responsibility of George W. Bush. Track of how far I've gone, far I've gone, how high I've climbed, on the backs of 60-pound stone, on the shoulder half mile line, come on up for the rising, come on up with your hands in mine, come on. Come on up for the rising tonight. Left the house this morning. Bells were ringing, filled the air. I was wearing a
independent?
What's called the PDB. There was a warning about bin Laden's desires on America. Frankly, I didn't think that was anything new.
Well, then, I guess, I don't know, what? Nothing? Something? I don't know. There's nothing new. What the hell? Nothing new. There have been maybe a million deaths since then because of that. Oh, maybe not a million. Okay. Half a million. Oh, okay. 750,000, but it's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It's just crushingly unbelievable. Military jurors have today found Osama bin Laden's former driver, Salim Hamdan, guilty on the charge of providing material support to terrorism and not guilty on terrorist conspiracy charges. Providing material support to terrorism. Not sure what the penalty for that is because this is all being made up as they go along. This is the first trial before these tribunals created by Bush, the first trials of anyone charged with anything in the so-called war on terror. They are the first trials conducted by the United States in front of a war crimes tribunal since the end of World War II. Now, Hamdan has not been sentenced. The jury has to set a sentence for him. It's a military jury, so I hope his attorney is adept at filing an appeal. Hamdan faces a possible maximum term of life in prison. They'll probably go easy on him and give him 20 years. Now, what comes next? They've got his driver. Hitler's driver was never charged with anything. The Nuremberg trials said, Hitler's driver, we don't want him. Let him go. Who's next now? They got bin Laden's driver. Who's next? Bin Laden's tailor? His barber. Bin Laden's the guy that, you know, irons the robes. Him, maybe? The guy who takes the videos. Who's next? The trial, according to a lot of news agencies, was seen as an important test of this new military commission system, which is, I don't know, this is not a system of justice whatsoever. It's a system of confirmation along the lines of, okay, we'll pick them up, you convict them. It's that simple. The people, Dick Cheney said, the people being held in Guantanamo are some of the most vicious on Earth. And of course, that, I don't know, did he mean the 60 or 70 or 80 who have been released so far because there was no there? Does he mean the teenagers that were snatched? So the rules of this are being made up as these trials proceed. Human rights organizations around the world have looked at this and said, my God, what? This is the United States of America? The Bush White House, whatever that means, I guess that means Dick Cheney, because George W. Bush couldn't care less about someone on trial, especially not Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden's driver. Bush doesn't care. Don't bother me. So when it says the White House welcomed the verdict, it means that Cheney and some of the neoconservative thugs who still infest the executive branch of this government probably saw it as some sort of a vindication of their destruction of the U.S. criminal justice system. Tony Fratto, White House spokesman, said, quote, we're pleased that Salim Hamdan received a fair trial, end quote. My God. Clad in a white turban and tan coat, Hamdan stood with a solemn expression and then bowed his head as the verdict was read out by the head of the jury in a makeshift courtroom at Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba. On the single count of support for terrorism, Hamdan was found guilty of five specifications under the charge, alleging he served as a driver for bin Laden and provided assistance to the al-Qaeda network. Prosecutors said that from 1998 to 2001, Hamdan ferried weapons for al-Qaeda and was fully aware that bin Laden's organization engaged in terrorism. But rejecting the conspiracy charge showed that the prosecutors were not able to prove to even a military jury that Hamdan plotted or planned anything on civilians, the sides of mountains, empty boxes, coiled springs, or bags of trash. Nothing. But by God, they got him. They got him on the charge of providing material support to terrorism because he was Osama bin Laden's driver. All right.
Didn't connect the dots. How come the dots weren't connected? Well, the Patriot Act helps us connect the dots. It is inexcusable to say, on the one hand, connect the dots and not give us a chance to do so. We've connected the dots, or trying to connect the dots.
This son of a bitch is insane. Unrecognizable to myself. Saw my just insane. In know my own face, oh brother. Gonna leave me wasting away. 25 before the hour. Going back to the guilty verdict today on a lesser charge, not a terrorist conspiracy charge, but the lesser charge of providing material support to terrorism because bin Laden's driver, he was bin Laden's driver, Salim Hamdan. And according to the prosecution, used to ferry weapons around Afghanistan, I guess. Defense lawyers said they would appeal the verdict after questioning whether Hamdan's role as a driver qualifies as a war crime. And they also say there was iffy evidence presented in the case from, get this, coercive interrogations. What could that be? Coercive interrogation. What does that mean? We're not doing anything medieval, are we? One of Hamdan's lawyers, Michael Berrigan, told reporters after the verdict, quote, is material support a war crime? The defense believes it is not. That issue will go forward on appeal, end quote. Berrigan also said it was a travesty that Hamdan was convicted under a law adopted in 2006, which established the military commissions, long after he was detained. Wasn't he picked up in 2002? Don't we have some sort of restrictions about busting someone, holding them for 5 years, inventing a law, and then charging them with the law 5 years after the fact that we just invented? These people in the Bush crime family that put this together, they are very smart. This is smart. Of course, there are other inmates at Guantanamo who are facing similar charges. And human rights advocates said those cases could falter as well for lack of evidence. Ben Weisner of the American Civil Liberties Union said after watching the trial's conclusion, quote, this verdict will complicate the administration's plans to prosecute dozens of detainees in Guantanamo. And of the jury's verdict, Weisner said, quote, I think you see even in a flawed system, the administration's positions in the so-called war on terror are too extreme even for American military officers. Yeah. And Human Rights Watch, based in New York, slammed the proceedings as marred by irregularities favoring the prosecution, making it all but impossible for Hamdan to get a fair hearing. That's the reason the White House spokesman, Tony Fratto, said immediately, "We're pleased that Salim Hamdan received a fair trial. Yes, we are. Up is down, black is white. Freedom is slavery. War is peace." Ha, ha, ha. And Human Rights Watch spokesperson Carol Chodroff said, quote, "The verdict was in long before the jury began to deliberate," end quote. And then there's this. I don't know if you remember this. Under the military U.S. Military Convictions Act of 2006, it takes a two-thirds majority to convict. That's all. Not everybody on the panel. It doesn't have to be unanimous. Two-thirds. There are six officers on the jury panel, so only four have to vote for conviction. Also in 2006, shortly after this horrific piece of fascist legislation was put together or ordered by the Bush crime family, the Supreme Court invalidated the commissions. But a few months later, of course, they were restored by the U.S. Congress. Now, I don't know if it was before or after. I guess it was before the 2006 elections, but it doesn't make any difference. There were enough Democrats in the Congress at the time to stop it. And you people are still going to vote Democratic this fall, right? Of course you are. Of course you are. Because, you know, if we don't vote Democratic, then John McCain will get in. And if John McCain gets in, oh, my God. Oh, your God, what? You know, I said it before. I'm not afraid to repeat it. Let McCain have the presidency. Just put a veto-proof Democratic-controlled House and Senate together and let McCain have the presidency. Give it to him. Father Obama can wait 4 years. Let McCain have it. Regarding the trial, Prairie 2 writes, Didn't the right-wingers used to get all in a lather about the trials North Vietnam subjected captured pilots to? Any comment from McCain? Not that I'm aware of. Mike from Connecticut writes, "Hey, Mike, if we are convicting people associated with bin Laden, how about Bush? Didn't he do business with the family?" Well, yeah, they've done business with the family for years, but that's George Bush. Kathy in Green Bay writes, "As Rachel Maddow pointed out, Hamdan was convicted of failing to quit his job." And regarding the ignoring of the president's daily brief of August 6, 2001, Justine writes, "Mike, let's not forget the more than 50 FAA warnings between April 2001 and September 2001 as follows. Quote, of the FAA's 105 daily intelligence summaries between 1 April 2001 and 10 September 2001, 52 of them mentioned Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, or both. The report also concludes that officials did not expand the use of in-flight air marshals or tighten airport screening for weapons. It said FAA officials were more concerned with reducing airline congestion, lessening delays, and easing air carriers' financial problems than thwarting a terrorist attack. That was reported in The Independent of the UK in February 2005. Justine writes, "Maybe we can have that information tattooed on Nancy Pelosi's arm." I do remember, she writes, that the one day that the U.S. media reported the story before letting it fade to nothing, unlike our lackey press, which has been vapor-locked to Bush and Cheney's butt since 1998. And this was big news in the foreign press. I can barely stand it, Mike. Justine. Do you have that little soundbite you played a minute ago of Bush saying about connecting the dots? 52 FAA daily intelligence summaries between April 1 and September 10, 2001, 52 of them out of 105 mentioned Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, or both. The president's daily brief of August 6 was titled "Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S." Have you got the Bush? Listen to this crazy bastard.
"They didn't connect the dots. How come the dots weren't connected? Well, the Patriot Act helps us connect the dots. It is inexcusable to say, on the one hand, connect the dots and not give us a chance to do so. We've connected the dots, or trying to connect the dots.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This comes through a couple of sources. First one here is, well, four or five people have sent this in. This is from Mike. He writes, my friend Tom Feely is in big trouble. He runs the website informationclearinghouse.info, which updates, quote, news you won't find in the corporate media, end quote, every day. The site is strongly anti-war. Yeah, I've used that site many times. Tom has gotten his share of death threats over the years, but what happened this week is a lot more serious. 2 days ago, Tom's wife found three well-dressed men in their kitchen. The man who did all the talking told Tom's wife, I won't give her name, that Tom must, quote, stop what he is doing on the Internet now, end quote. As crazy as it sounds, he pulled back his lapel and showed her a gun of some kind, which she could not identify. Like I said, Tom has been threatened before, but nothing like this. 4 years ago, he was in a parking lot at Long's Drugstore in Southern California, and when he tried to open his door to get out, a man in the car next to him opened his door at precisely the same time, which prevented Tom from getting out. Then a 40-ish-year-old man got out of the passenger side of the vehicle and approached Tom, saying, you need to stop what you're doing on the web. Tom said the man was overweight and had his shirt untucked. Tom was taken aback, but after collecting himself, said, what the blank? Who do you think you're telling? Who do you think you are telling me what I can do? The man answered, Tom, I'm just giving you some good advice. You should take my advice, Tom. This is all I know about the incident. Since then, there have been occasional death threats, but nothing like what happened on Sunday. Tom's wife is hysterical and has not returned to the house since the incident. She contacted the FBI, but the FBI said that there was nothing they could do. Tom and his wife separated recently after a 30-year marriage, so he is publishing from a different location. The well-dressed man told Tom's wife that he knew where her son lived, what line of work he was in, and how many children he had. Last night, Tom's son and a friend cruised the neighborhood where his mother lives to see if anything strange was going on. They came across two men in a car a half block from their mother's home using their laptops at roughly 12:30 in the morning. When Tom's son and friend approached them, the car sped off. Tom does not know whether this is connected to his situation, but is definitely suspicious. I talked to Tom this morning, and he's getting by, but he's clearly upset. I don't know his plans, but I do know he is ditching his cell phone, and I assume we'll have to go underground as much as possible. He plans to keep publishing. I'll tell you this about Tom Feely. He is no BSer. He is the real deal and completely committed to exposing the mob that is presently running our country. He does not understand why, as he says, they're reaching down so far to get someone who just runs a website. But the truth is, they are. Someone wants him to shut up, and they apparently have the muscle to do it. He knows he's in danger. I will probably only hear from Tom infrequently from this point on, but I will update information as I get it. Tom knows some of the best writers on the Internet. Many of them speak out regularly and forcefully on issues of civil liberties and war. Anything they can do to draw attention to Tom's situation will greatly improve his chances of getting through this ordeal safely. Beyond that, I have no idea of what can be done to help. Mike Whitney. If you have never gone to informationclearinghouse.info, I'm sure most people listening to this program have. But if you have gone to that website, you know that it is, as Mike writes here, one of the strongest anti-war websites on the Internet. And as we get information on this program, I'll do my best to keep you informed, too. I shudder to think what would happen if I came home and found three people in suits in my house uninvited. I'm not the least bit macho about it, but I would try to kill them. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I think we are welcomed, but it was not a peaceful welcome.
We have an article here that that I am not familiar with up until this moment. It comes from the Pakistan Daily newspaper, and it's from Sunday, July 27th. That would be a Sunday a week ago, right? Monty in Denver sent this to me. It's very brief. It says, Saudi Arabia is to build 5 modern prisons in the kingdom to replace U.S. Guantanamo detention facility, a new report has revealed. Jordanian Daily quoted unnamed sources as saying that the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency and Saudi officials are cooperating to construct the prisons, which are to replace Guantanamo and U.S. secret prisons in Europe. Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, is to spend about 2 billion Saudi rials for the project, which can accommodate up to 18,000 inmates. The Bin Laden construction firm, with the help of German engineers, will build the prisons in the Saudi cities of Mecca, Hayir, Dammam, and Qassim. The U.S. has been under pressure due to violating individual rights in its detention camps in Europe and Guantanamo Bay. UN human rights investigators have urged the White House to shut down the Guantanamo camp. Now, the Bin Laden firm, of course, Bin Laden is one of, 30 brothers or cousins or half-brothers or whatever. So that is no more or less immaterial than the fact that the Bush crime family has done business with the Bin Laden family for decades. And will continue. Why disturb a workable relationship, as the Bush family has done with the Saudi royal family? But it's interesting that the country that sent 15 of the 19 hijackers to this country to commit mass death, Saudi Arabia, is also the country in which now they are going to build prisons to replace U.S. Guantanamo detention facilities. It's astonishing. And yet, there are still people who say that the events of September, lots of people, lots of very bright people, who say that the events of September 11, 2001 were conducted wholly without the knowledge of the U.S. government under the control of George W. Bush. There are very intelligent people who insist that to think otherwise is to put on your tin metal hat or your tinfoil hat and act like a freaked out conspiracy theorist. That no, it may have been incompetence on the part of the Bush administration, but they did not let it happen, nor did they make it happen. And to believe otherwise, like I said, is to demonstrate clearly that you're a conspiracy freak and had better up your meds. So here we go again. One more example, you see. One more example of this literal conspiracy to destroy the institutions of this country and replace them with a sort of fascism that is so dominant in the countries that the Bush crime family love. Places like, China. Where else? Gee, let me think for a second. Korea, South Korea. Saudi Arabia. Kuwait. Where else? Jordan. Are there more? So it comes as a surprise, but certainly not as a shock, that U.S. CIA and Saudi officials are cooperating in the construction of prisons that are going to replace Guantanamo and U.S. secret prisons in Europe, which can accommodate up to 18,000 inmates. Now, again, this comes from the Pakistan Daily. So, right? Come on. Pakistan Daily? Hey, what's up with that? Huh? Who knows what they're about? Well, we'll put the link up and you can check it out yourself and make your own decision. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. Yeah, it's Springsteen night tonight, if you haven't figured it out already. The Boss. Gotta love his music. I really do. It's just so American. You know what I'm saying? It is just so American. Are you going to play American Skin tonight at some point? Are you? Okay. That was, I remember when that came out. What else we got here? God, I've got so many things that, this came out the other night from the Washington Times. That's the paper owned by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, the guy who says he is the latest incarnation of the Christian Messiah, Jesus Christ. Anyways, in the Washington Times, and it talks about, or the writer mentions the fact that prominent evangelical leaders are warning Senator McCain against picking Mitt Romney as his running mate. And they're telling McCain that if he does pick former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney as his running mate, their troops will abandon the Republican ticket on Election Day. Oh, really? Oh, wouldn't that be a damn shame? These evangelical freaks, like Tim LaHaye and, Reverend Rob McCoy and who else? It doesn't matter. Their names don't mean anything. Their names are written in the book of death anyway. But, these people are saying that Romney lacks trust on issues such as outlawing abortion. Can't trust him to outlaw abortion, you see. And opposing same-sex marriages, can't trust him to do that, because those are two very, 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 very key, critical, important issues facing America here in the year of our Lord, 2008. And because he's a Mormon. You can't trust him. He's a Mormon. He's not a Christian. He's a Mormon. Oh, my God. Why can't the United States shake itself loose from the grip of these right-wing neocon Republican thugs and these phony Christian lying scum? Why can't we rid ourselves of this priest? What was the line? Will someone relieve me of this? Not insufferable. Somebody, well, Perry too will send me the line, I'm sure. Anyway, the Reverend Rob McCoy, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Thousand Oaks, California, who speaks at evangelical events across the country, told the Washington Times, quote, "I will vote for McCain unless he does one thing. You know what that is? If he puts Romney on the ticket as vice president, it will alienate the entire evangelical community. 62 million self-professing evangelicals in this country, half of them registered to vote, are going to be deeply saddened," end quote. Tim LaHaye, out of touch with reality book writer about the Left Behind series, says McCain and Romney would be like oil and water. How about bread and wine? "We aren't against Mormonism, but Romney is not a thoroughgoing evangelical, and his flip-flopping on issues is understandable in a liberal state like Massachusetts, but our people won't understand that." That's right. That's right, Mr. LaHaye, because your people, as you call them, are dumber than dung heap. They really are your people. Now, Mike Huckabee, on the other hand, ordained Baptist minister, he was the favorite of evangelical voters, you'll remember, in all that nonsense during the Republican primary season. And he won more delegates per dollar spent than any other candidate in either party. Ooh, well, there you go. And according to the Washington Times, other well-placed Christian conservatives say that although many evangelical leaders could accept and work for a McCain-Romney ticket, Mr. Huckabee's supporters tend to be rabid in their views against Romney because he's a Mormon. You see, they don't regard Mormonism as being Christian. It's something, it's an other, a capital O other, like gay folk, like liberals, like progressives, like normal human beings, like Muslims, like Jews, like, you know, it's the other. And evangelical Christians don't like the other. And Mormonism is apostasy. That's what it is. And, of course, the McCain campaign is saying, well, you know, Romney's just one of the names that we have as options. Oh, my God. So, anyway, I can't wait to see the frothing and foaming and twitching and jumping and convulsing that will go through this sorry, sick, miserable evangelical Christian community in this country when McCain does pick his running mate, you know, someone else to assist in McCain's 80-mile-an-hour drive into a brick wall. Now, but on the other hand, like I said, I hope McCain wins. I do. I think McCain, if there's a veto-proof House and Senate on the Democratic side, yes, indeedy. Because then McCain could sit there and as the, and we could watch him go totally insane. It would be our first ever chance to watch someone who's not a Hollywood actor and well-scripted go nuts. Not just get senile and develop all those raggedy, what are those things, Kathy, when people have Alzheimer's, what are they called, those the strands, the plaque, yeah, all that plaque and, you know, burned out synapses and everything. And again, I've had that disease in my family, so it's weird to watch someone go through that. Aside from being horrifying, it's also weird to see the complete elimination of the inner person. Just gone. Gone! It's an absolute brain scrambler. You know, for the witness, for the person suffering from it, it's a brain scrambler, too, literally.
How old is Barack Obama? 46?
He just turned 47.
47. You know, he could run for president like six more times before he would be McCain's age running for president. He's got six more chances before he would be like, or five anyway. Five more chances, something like that. A lot.
That's close.
He's got lots and lots of time.
He does. He does.
Oh, wait, that's assuming 8 years. Wait a minute.
All right, that's okay, Kathy. You're getting into.
Be like 10 times.
You're getting into math.
Give me a long time.
Kathy, sit down.
He's got lots of
okay,
chances.
Okay, Kathy, it's okay. It's okay. I think
McCain can have this one because, you know, he's never going to have another one.
I think McCain should get it. I really do. We are what, 2 days away from the opening of the Berlin, I'm sorry, the Beijing Olympics. And as you could be, as you could expect, two American and two British protesters slipped through, this according to the Washington Post, slipped through a smothering Olympic security net Wednesday, that's today, climbed a pair of lampposts, unfurled banners demanding freedom for Tibet near the new stadium where the Beijing Games are to open Friday night. God. The protest constituted a substantial embarrassment for Chinese security forces who have vowed to prevent this kind of nonsense. The four were led away by police, but not arrested, according to Chinese authorities. No, not while the games are going. If I were these four guys, though, I think I would leave China as quickly as possible if they can get a flight or a train or a car or a rickshaw or a junk or roller skates or whatever the hell it takes to get out of the country quickly. Because when the games are over and the net comes down again, these guys don't want to be there. They want to be long gone, right? Or they may wind up on the human organ market. Against their will. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
Sincere, you gotta look hard. Wounded deep in battle, I stand stuffed like some soldier undaunted. To her gesture, smile, I'll stand on fire.
21 past the hour. Yeah, all right, Thomas Beckett was engaged in all sorts of conflicts with Henry II over the rights and privileges of the church, and eventually was assassinated by followers of the king. And Bill writes, just about any quote would work. There are many variations. I believe that the movie Man for All Seasons had it as, quote, "Who shall rid me of this troublesome priest?" end quote. After all the reports of Becket's activities, Henry II is reported to have raised his head from his sickbed and roared a lament of frustration. The king's exact words are in doubt, and several versions have been reported. Okay, so here they are. Take your pick. "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? Will no one rid me of this troublesome priest? Who will rid me of this troublesome priest? Who will rid me of this turbulent priest? Will no one rid me of this turbulent priest? Will no one revenge me of the injuries I have sustained from one turbulent priest? Will none of the knaves eating my bread rid me of this turbulent priest? What a band of loathsome vipers I have nursed in my bosom, who will let their lord be insulted by this low-born cleric? What miserable drones and traitors have I nourished and brought up in my household, who let their lord be treated with such shameful contempt by a low-born cleric?" I'll go with the man for all seasons, "Who shall rid me of this troublesome priest?" Thanks, Bill. And Greg in Des Moines writes in that Bruce Springsteen is not American music. Greg writes, "Mike, it is not American. Bruce Springsteen does not represent American music. It is liberal, progressive music. It's intelligent, thoughtful, and just. You might even say it's European. Oh my, blanking blank." Greg in Des Moines. All right. You want to do some phone calls? Let's do some phone calls. I'll tell you what. How about let's do some phone calls? The number here is 800-989-1480. Look for massive protests at the Beijing Games opening Friday. Human rights advocates, pro-democracy agitators, farmers, landowners who are extremely pissed off over the theft of their land by the Chinese government. Tibetan activists especially. What is this? According to the Washington Post, the actress Mia Farrow announced that she will be holding a news conference about the Chinese role in Sudan's embattled Darfur region on Thursday, tomorrow, seeking to steal the limelight from what is planned as a spectacular Olympic opening ceremony the next day. Mia Farrow will be speaking from Chad, which neighbors Sudan in Central Asia or Africa, because she was denied a visa to China. All these Beijing protests took place, according to the Washington Post, despite thousands of police, paramilitary forces, and soldiers who have been stationed around the capital to prevent terrorist attacks and control the streets during the games, which run from Friday until August 24th. Their numbers and repeated security checks have threatened to take the fun out of the Olympics, said Shi Yinhong, who runs the Center for American Studies at People's University. He said, quote, "This is not a global party," end quote. No, it isn't. If you want a global party, a street party, you should have been at the 1996 Olympics here in Atlanta. One of the most embarrassing events I've ever been involved in, and then of course the bombing by the white racist sick Christian right-wing murdering bastard who then ran and hid in the mountains of North Carolina, but after bombing an abortion clinic so-called and a gay club here in Atlanta. Whew, man. But no, it's not a party. As a matter of fact, I heard on NPR today that some of the American athletes are staying in South Korea, and the day of their events, they will, or the night before the day of their events, they will board an airliner and fly to Beijing to participate and then get out of town. This is craziness. This is craziness. The Olympics, the modern Olympics, should be have its head cut off. It should have all the veins that feeds it opened and let it bleed to death. There is no reason whatsoever to continue these Olympic Games. If they want to have Olympic Games, then once every 4 years in Athens, Greece, it invites some athletes to come. They can't tell who what country they're from. That would be one of the restrictions. Just come and compete. But the Olympics now, the modern Olympics, it's nothing more than a completely prostituted corporate, well, I can't say it on the air, you know what I'm getting to, run by governments who are no more interested in the individual prowess of the athletes than they're interested in hanging themselves. The Olympics need to die. Still in New York versions by the score.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Let's do some phone calls. Do we have anybody on the phone? Have anybody on hold? Oh, a couple of people. Okay. Start with Shion, who is listening in Miami on WINZ. Shion, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just heard you say something a few minutes ago that you're scaring me to death. Did I hear you say that McCain should have this one and Obama is young enough to come on later? Did I hear you say that?
Yeah, I did say that, yeah.
Tell me why.
Because the horrendous mess that the Bush crime family has created is going to take an awful long time to repair, to correct, and the next 4, 5, 6 years are going to be the most horrible. And whoever is president will get the blame for everything. Because the media is owned by the right wing in this country.
Right.
The media is as irresponsible as the Republican Party. So if Barack Obama is president for the next 4 years, the like I said, the damage done by Bush over the past 8 years is incalculable. I mean, we don't even know the extent to which this guy has destroyed the country, our economy, our military, our social system, our regulatory agencies, the cabinet positions, everything, our monetary system, everything has been utterly destroyed. To turn that over to a Democrat and say to the Democrat, well, here you are, repair it, is madness. Because the Democrat that we say that to will be unable to do anything. So what will happen to the shark-like right-wing media in this country? They will go for Obama's throat every single day for the next 4 years without let-up. So I say, give it to McCain, but make sure that the House and the Senate have veto-proof Democratic Party majorities, which effectively renders John McCain inactive. There's nothing he'll be able to do. Not a piece of legislation can get out of McCain's mind and on the books unless there is complicity from Democrats. And then it's up to us to purge the Democratic Party over the next 4 years. We'll have two elections of all the House members. We also will have two elections of Senate, right. Senate members, not all 100 by any means, but enough to get rid of the corporate Democrats. So to me, this is strategic planning. Obama is going to be sunk under a tidal wave of filth and corruption and mismanagement and two wars and veterans that are being treated like dirt, families who are losing their homes, credit card companies that are jacking the rates up to 30%. I mean, it's madness. And we want to give this to a young, idealistic man like Barack Obama? He's 47 years old. When he's 51, 4 years from now, when this tidal wave of garbage and trash and corruption that the Bush crime family has turned this country into, when that wave is broken and McCain has been broken and the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate realize that the American people are not kidding, either they will be liberal Democrats or their asses will be thrown out of office. At that point, then bring in someone who's a leader. Now, that's
you know what, Mike? I agree with you because I just told someone that this evening that I hate to see Obama have to walk into this crap. He's worth a lot more than that, you know, to have to take up the cross. Is kind of like telling Jesus, we're going to kill you, take the cross too while we kill you up here. You know, you have to take everything.
Okay, well, now you understand what I'm saying, Shion. Again, Obama is a young man. He can spend the next 4 years as a senator or heading a shadow government if necessary to wait until John McCain and the Republican Party completely disintegrates. McCain will go mad. McCain will be 76 years old when he gets out of this, and he will be a gibbering, seeing ghosts on the wall. He'll make Nixon look almost sane. The Republican Party will be nothing 4 years from now. It will finally get what it deserves, and that is to be reduced to absolutely an ineffective collection of right-wing nutcases. And then, of course, in the meantime, that gives a four-year breathing spell for peace and freedom parties, for green parties, for independent parties to begin to develop. And then for once and forever, we can break the hold of this two-party system in the United States. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
I don't think that Obama would take it again, though. I really don't. I kind of think that if he were not in the position that he's now and had gone this far, that he would consider it again. I just don't think so. But I understand what you're saying, and I see your point. There's one other thing I wanted to tell you. There's a little article in yesterday's paper that Sheikh Al-Rashid Maktoum was at Camp David with President Bush yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And,
so,
and this is about the prisons they're going to build in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that I heard you say that, and I had, because I was in Dubai in 1987 before Dubai was Dubai, and I met this man. I was there with the United States Agricultural Trade Commission before it got to NAFTA and CAFTA. This was a long time ago when trade was trade.
Right.
So I just wanted to and tell you about that little incident. It was a very small article, but they're awfully cozy, and they're just—it's really worrisome. Yeah.
All right. Well, well. Thank you, Shion. I appreciate what you had to say. I hope you understand where I'm coming from on this particular issue. Right? You do understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. I fully understand, and I fully agree with you. And those were my thoughts exactly. And that's why I wanted to be sure of what I was thinking. If I talked to you, I knew I was on the right track.
All right. Thanks, Shion. I appreciate it. Take care. Take care. Ah. Anne writes, and I understand your reasoning for wanting McCain to win, but I just keep focusing on Supreme Court justices. No matter how many Democrats are elected, they will not withstand repeated appointments of more Scalias by McCain. Sooner or later, they will succumb to an appointment, which will be a disaster for progressives. Well, Anne, that's a problem with the Democratic majority. I'm talking about a strong Democratic majority, veto-proof in the House and the Senate. The Democrats could have stopped the appointment of John Roberts and Sammy the Fish Alito, and they did not. So having a Democrat as president or a Republican as president is immaterial. It's irrelevant to whether or not the Democrats in the Senate refuse to confirm these right-wing bastards. The Democrats could have stopped. The only reason John Roberts is a Supreme Court Chief Justice, the only reason Sammy the Fish Alito is an Associate Justice, is because of the Democrats. That's all. So if McCain is president, he can nominate James Dobson if he wants to, and if the Democrats will stand up on their hind legs and act like Democrats, the nomination will go nowhere except into the toilet where it would belong. I'm sorry, I'm not buying this anymore, Anne. This idea that we need a Democratic president in order to assure that the Republican or the conservative majority on the court, a real conservative majority, doesn't come to pass. No. What we need are strong Democrats in the Senate. That's the only way to stop it. It doesn't make any difference who's in the White House where it concerns a Supreme Court confirmation. It doesn't matter. It's the senators who make the president can nominate anyone they want to. Look at Reagan. Was it Reagan or was it Pappy Bush who nominated Robert Bork? And the Democrats stopped him. They can do it if they want to. It's just that the corporate Democrats that we have now, Ann, couldn't care less about a woman's right to privacy. They couldn't care less about whether or not a corporate entity, should be given the full constitutional rights as a human being. The Democrats in the Senate right now are the problem. They're not the solution. They're the problem. Really? So, yeah, I'm as serious as a heart attack. Give it to McCain. Let the little bastard have it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. I went out for a ride and I never went back. Like a river that don't know where it's flowing. I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and you play your part. Everybody's got a hook.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. One of our favorite correspondents, Prairie 2, writes regarding John McCain. Mike, don't you read the doomsday emails that I send you? I'm not kidding. The economy is hollowed out. The government and the courts are loaded up with incompetent and or fascist thugs. We can't survive 4 years of McCain. We'll be lucky to survive with a real president. Obama could break up the media by presidential order, turn the Department of Justice loose on the Republicans. It's not hopeless. Well, yeah, and if pigs had wings, they could fly. Obama break up the media by presidential order? Come on, Prairie 2. Come on, you're talking about Barack Obama, right? Unless he's a stealth candidate, he's a go-along, get-along corporate Democrat who is very articulate, very, very charismatic, really has a message. Yay, let's go. And turn the Department of Justice loose on the Republicans? Everybody has a right to their dreams and entitled to hope. You know, where there's hope, there's life, right, Prairie 2? I certainly understand your argument. I just don't agree with it. I really don't. I think what we need is the purging purity of a massive political meltdown in this country. I'm sorry if that sounds anarchic or crazed. Okay, but a President Obama, I mean, what's he going to do? Every institution of government has been so thoroughly politicized. He'll be lucky to move anything at any speed. Yes, he can reappoint the heads of regulatory agencies. He has the option, or the obligation, I should say, of announcing his cabinet, appointing cabinet heads. But within those departments that the cabinet heads will administer or the regulatory heads will take over, within those departments, surely you and everybody have been reading lately of this wholesale hiring of under civil service rules and regs of right-wing worms and moles and weasels and destroyers who are getting into these agencies to absolutely and utterly thwart any attempt by a sane, normal regulatory head or president or cabinet head to do anything to change the policies that these Federalist bastards have been salivating about for the past, 30 years. And finally, they almost had a complete jackass with Reagan, and then Pappy Bush got in the way. But they've had Bush Jr. for 8 years. I mean, this has been better than good sex to these people. So knowing that, how could anyone believe that a department head or a president or a member of a cabinet can affect change? It'll be like trying to strike a match on a wet cake of soap or pushing a string. How are you going to do it? We need a President McCain. That's what we need. And a veto-proof House and Senate that is run by the Democratic Party. Democrats, a lot of them in name only. And then begins a slow process, not all that slow, 2 years, 4 years, of picking off the dinos, getting rid of them, tossing them on the junk heap, kicking them to the curb, putting in progressive, liberal Democrats, solidifying control of the party. And then in 2012, begin a process that will last for the foreseeable future of having liberal, progressive, democratic administrations, liberal, progressive, democratic houses and senates, and return, an attempt to return, or not return, an attempt to get to normalcy, rationality, sanity in this country, and to address the global problems that are not ours. We don't have an exclusive franchise on what to do or not do about the energy situation, about global climate change, about global hunger, about global disease. These are global problems. We need leadership. We really do. But we need leadership that can work in conjunction with all those agencies and bureaucracies that have to function, have to work along with the executive branch. A President Obama will not find that. He's going to find what we can see now: chaos, disease, disorder, madness, insanity, corruption, fascism, all of this inside what remains this hollowed out shell of U.S. government. Turn this over to Barack Obama? No, give it to McCain. Give it to McCain. And if there's a political meltdown in this country, let it happen. Let it happen. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? Martial law, insurrection? Nah, not in this country. There may be an attempt at it, either one or both. And then what? I think we disagree. Pray too. But, so what? Right? This is from Darnell, who writes, "What about justice, Mike?" Oh, wait a minute. I don't have time to do this. We'll do it when we come back from the break. And your phone calls. So stick around. I see I've got some people who disagree, along with Prairie 2's disagreement about McCain for president. We'll read these when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
It's just a dead man talking. Once I had a job, I had a good. Between our dreams and actions lies this world. In the deep forest, their blood and tears rushed over me. All I could feel was the drugs and the shotgun, and my fear up inside of me, like a dead man talking.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. All Springsteen tonight for the bumper and show open, hour open music, I should say. Thanks for hanging around. Okay, so I've pissed off enough of you with the statement about McCain. Let's see. Gary in Indiana writes, "Mike, I have to say that I have finally given up on your show. I just can't accept the pessimism night after night." First, there's no way that anything will change from now if McCain is elected. Bush has gone crazy and people do not seem to care. Crime and corruption have been rampant, but nobody cares. Maybe Obama can't change things. Who knows? But there is no way that he can make it worse. Whew. Do you mean that, Gary? Okay. I would suggest that those who are progressive and who refuse to vote for Obama or who want to vote for someone who has no chance of winning, please go ahead and move to Canada or Europe. I know that if McCain wins, that is what I will be doing. I can't believe that you, of all people, think that 4 more years of Republicans will make people wake up if they have not already done so. Remember what the Germans said after the fact, that the changes were small and they did not notice, and the big changes seemed to be needed. Do you think anything is different now? I want out before things get to where I can't do so, but I will wait to see if Obama wins. Gary and Al in Indiana. Okay. Penny writes, Mike McCain has already been chosen. You do not have to hope that it will happen, because it will, no matter what. The game is over and has been for 8 years. You know that crazy feeling when you're going up the front, ascending side of a roller coaster with all those click, click, click sounds? Those clicks were the first 8 years. Get ready for the back side, which is a 90-degree face first plummet into the abyss. Hang on and tell your family you love them. This might very well be the end of it all. The insanity is quickening. Lucy in Olympia, Washington writes, Mike, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It's going to take a long time to clean up this BS. But if we elect McCain, we'll invade Iran. How much can our boys take? My daddy served in the Korean War and the Vietnam War. My hubby was a pilot in Vietnam. I'm what I hate to be called, a military brat. I support our military. I don't support my government, and I don't want any more soldiers to die in the world, in the word of freedom for America. It's all about corporate profits. I don't want to kill Iranians. Lucy. Mary Mack writes, I'm as angry at the ineffectiveness of the Democrats in Congress as you, but I'm not willing to allow this nation to potentially be led into a nuclear war with Iran if this angry power nut, McCain, gets into office. The Mayan calendar ends in 2012. Some give that a positive meaning, but others worry. I don't want the world to get destroyed under the helm of a pro-nuke, pro-military guy, pro-Blackwater. I'm an independent, and I do not campaign for the Democrats, but I will not be able to sit back and let this go to McCain when it comes time to go into the voting booth, despite my disgust for the Democratic Congress. What I do is communicate and write my Congress and everyone else. If everyone else would do that, I think they would listen more. I don't believe in throwing in the towel. I believe in being more activist. You have been active every day on the air for years, so you feel like it's hopeless, but I don't agree. Just now, more people are listening to left talk radio, and more could in the future, too. More could start becoming aware of alternative media and journalists like Greg Palast. I cannot stand back and watch things keep happening, like what Democracy Now! Outlined today regarding the anthrax case, where McCain was quoted on Letterman on October 18, 2001, as pointing to Iraq as the source of the anthrax. I fear he's in bed with the worst part of our government and its crime family. Don't throw in the towel. People have to unite and tell Obama and the government what we expect. Not throw in the towel. A coward throws in the towel. Don't despair just because you already do all you can do. Realize that there are others who have to do their part. Oberman, for instance, is only now catching on. More people can get the word. Mary Mack. Well, you know, I've said before, as long as I have a 4-year-old child, I'm not going to, you know, slough off into despair. All right. Anyway, that's from Mary Mack. This is from Darnell. What about justice, Mike? You want to try McCain in charge of the Justice Department? Think about that for a second. You think the Ashcroft hospital visit was a story? Wait till you see what this guy will try. I agree with the Peter Tosh song, What Good is Peace Without Justice? Isn't that the true heart of all the problems? The president has proven that he can act in amazing ways without the Congress. You're already out advocating for defeat when you should be advocating for the trifecta. If we have a chance for a bulletproof Senate and House, then why can't you see the Trump card as the executive? Oh, yeah, and if we have all three or even two, including the executive, just legislation like the Fairness Doctrine can be implemented in the first term. I think you're wrong on this one, Mike. And then Prairie 2 writes in, anarchy isn't a plan. Look at 1932, only magnitudes worse. Germany was more liberal than the U.S. How did that work out? Remember the right-wing hysteria after 9/11? People aren't going to look around and say they're sick of the Republicans. They'll lash out at whoever they already hate. If you don't think Obama is the answer, then you might as well vote for Paris Hilton. Okay. All right. Wait, one more here. Very quickly, let me squeeze this in. This is from, I don't know who it's from. Connect Stat? He writes, I have a semi-bigot Vietnam vet friend from Michigan who says, and I quote, Obama gives me the creeps. I don't trust him. I say, give it to McCain and let him destroy the country because it's already tanking. I'm not voting for Obama unless he picks someone really experienced for vice president. My friend always gives me no reason for his gives me the creeps comment, and I think it's because of Obama's race from the occasional racist comment my friend has made in the past about various people over the years, and he's in his 50s. Now you're echoing his views, except from the left side. I just don't believe in giving the country to Satan just because you don't believe the Congress will ever have the guts to get it right. Well, that's not... Okay. The way to get the Congress to get it right is to have a massive set of communications from the public. People have to unite and organize more than ever before. I have only become aware of the left press in the past few months myself, and there are lots of people who would like to know about things like Nova M, Tom Hartman, Democracy Now!, Greg Palast, UK Guardian, and just don't know yet. Things can get better if people keep trying instead of throwing in the towel because they don't believe the guy can do it. Obama needs a kick in the butt from his base to keep him remembering what is important and to really believe in change instead of just believing in being elected. And the same for these people in Congress. I'd like to learn how to organize people better and how to communicate with our Republican and Democratic Congress people and senators. Okay. There's more here, but let's get to your phone calls. All right. Alex is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Fine. Yeah, I was listening earlier regarding your regarding the China Olympics and all that, and you know, I noticed that you know, our country's pretty much sold our soul to China. And you know, growing up here, you know, my father, he was a big union. I like to tell you a story about the union, the Great American Union, that basically China killed. It was the International Ladies Garment Workers Union.
Mm-hmm.
Union formed like just before the Great Depression, during the Great Depression, that basically contributed to the building of the middle class in this country. And, you know, what Reagan did, you know, to it started in that era and it pretty much ended recently for all those workers.
Uh-huh.
It's just an example of how corporatism in this country has basically affected our democracy and our way of life. And another example recently, I know you had all these toys, you know, coming from China with lead and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an American company.
Hey, hold on a second, Alex. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back. Stay with us.
No, they're obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
And that makes it all good. 21 past the hour. All right, we were talking with Alex in Miami. All right, Alex, wrap it up for me as quickly as you can here. Go ahead.
Sure, Mike. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I just want to make one last point about, the latest thing recently with the lead in China and all these toys.
Right, right.
And there was a company, I mean, I think it should be done, because just to show how much we sold, a company called Learning Curve. They made little toy trains, and, you know, they made them in Illinois, and they were good quality product and all that. And what happened is the company Learning Curve got bought out by a big corporation who basically took the company to China,
Yeah. Made
their products in China, and a lot of those toys that came with lead paint were from this company.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an example of how much the American workers been stepped on. That basically, work. You know, the workers basically helped to build this brand name.
Okay. You know? Now you said at the start of your call that China has done this. No, China hasn't. China has not destroyed and doesn't have the power to destroy any union or any workforce or any company in the United States. The only thing China offers to corporate America is cheap labor, no regulatory agencies, no environmental agencies, so come on down. And it's the American corporations who have destroyed the unions. It's the American corporations who allow lead paint to go into toys that come back to American children. Please keep that in mind. China is a clear example of unbridled, predatory, insane, whacked out capitalism. All they want to do is make things and sell it. They don't care what goes into making the things. They don't care what happens to the people that buy it. The only thing they're interested in doing, Alex, is this is why the Bush family, crime family, loves them so much, because this is a kind of capitalism. No zoning, no regulatory agencies, no oversight, no nothing. Just go, go, go! Open up your entire country to corporatism. Destroy the atmosphere. Destroy the water. Destroy the earth. Destroy everything! But, Alex, China did not destroy American unions. Corporate America destroyed the unions with help from the unions themselves. Charles is calling from L.A., listening on KTLK. Charles, welcome to the program.
Yes. No, I agree with about 80% of what you say.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things I strongly disagree with. You know, one thing, using G-damn America, I don't think that adds to your show. And it actually keeps me from referring people to your show.
What? What are you talking about?
G-damn.
I don't know what you're saying.
God damn. You say that a lot.
Yeah, so
and
what?
I don't think it adds to your show. I think it takes away from your show.
Well, you're entitled to that opinion, Charles.
And it actually
but
keeps me from referring people to
well,
your
well,
show.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Now, did you call me up to criticize because I use the word goddamn a lot? If you did, if that's the reason for your call, then I'm just going to move on. Do you have
the
anything?
Other reason is what you said about Barack Obama today, not to vote for him. I think that's wrong. I think as an American,
all right, now wait, hold on just a damn minute, Charles. Seriously, I mean, it's one thing to get in my case about the language I use. If you don't like the language I use, let me suggest what you do. Turn off the program. Very simple. I use language that you use. You know you use it. You may not say goddamn, but you know you use gutter language anytime the spirit moves you. There's no difference between what you do and what I do, as long as I stay within the boundaries of what the FCC requires. That's A. Let me just reiterate, if you don't like what you hear on this program, don't listen. I mean, that's what I would do. That's what any rational person would do. You're not going to call me up and tell me to change my language and expect any kind of reaction from me except the one you're getting right now. Secondly, if I want to say don't vote for Obama, I will by goddamn say don't vote for Obama. Are you out of your mind? You're going to call a political talk show host and talk to a left-wing almost socialist host and tell him not to say don't vote for Obama? Are you out of your mind? Now, I think what we ought to do here is you just take a break from calling the program, and if it's too much for your tender ears, take a break from listening. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you're not going to tell me what to say on my program. It's very simple, so don't come at me, Charles, with all this attitude. Thanks for checking in. Show some respect. When you come into my house, which is what you do when you call this program, you will show some respect. I'm not saying agree with me. I don't give a damn if people agree. I'm not here for agreement. I've said before, the purpose of this program is just to get together and discuss the tragedies and horrors of the day. If you can think of some better way to do a program, get your own. Very simple, right? I didn't tell you who to vote for, pal. I said I think it's a good idea. Let McCain have this miserable executive branch that's been turned into nothing but a collection of Nazi-like stormtroopers who have destroyed the Constitution. Barack Obama, if you want, I assume you're an Obama supporter. Okay, if you want Barack Obama to be washed away in this tidal wave of sludge and corruption and evil that is the result of 8 years of Bush and the Bush crime family, then you must not care very much for your candidate. Now, that's my opinion. If you want to disagree, that's fine. My opinions are that. Opinions. I don't tell anyone who to vote for. That's up to you and the Hanging Chads or the Diebold Electronic Company. We'll be back after the break.
I don't need you. For the secrets that you hold, lift me up.
There's a cold silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep.
China's the fascinating country that is significant in its size. Its economy is still small but growing.
There's a cold of silence and it can't go on.
Yeah, you go there, George.
What is this? Bush is in Thailand rebuking China on human rights issues, but praising its market reform. What? According to the Associated Press, Bush bluntly told China, he's in Thailand, that America stands, quote, in firm opposition, quote, unquote, to the way the communist government represses its own people. Bush said, quote, we speak out for a free press, freedom of assembly, and freedom of labor rights, not to antagonize China's leaders, but because trusting its people with greater freedom is the only way for China to develop its full potential. What? He added, quote, and we press for openness and justice, not to impose our beliefs, but to allow the Chinese people to express it. What the hell is he talking about? Oh, my God. He is criticizing. He went on to say, quote, America stands in firm opposition to China's detention of political dissidents, human rights advocates, and religious activists, end quote. He went on to say, quote, America and our partners are realistic and we are prepared for any possibility. I am optimistic about China's future. Young people who grow up with the freedom to trade goods will ultimately demand the freedom to trade ideas. Who wrote that for you, George? Pretty incredible, huh? He's telling the Chinese to straighten up and stop being such an oppressor of human rights. Son of a bitch. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. Oh, well, you know, what to expect. What to expect. Back to your phone calls. Paula is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. Hey, Paula. Welcome
to
the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Was Bush dressed like a giant pot when he was saying those things?
Oh, my God. He sounds like a potted plant.
Well, pot meat kettle.
No kidding.
Like, don't look at me. Look at the guy over there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't look at us. Never mind. We had a trial today, and justice was served, or a verdict today, and justice was served. Oh, whatever.
Oh, my God. That's just, I was laughing the whole, but just while you were reading that, it just sounded so funny to me.
I know.
It just sounded, and that last caller, man, what a buzzkill.
Well, yeah, I can understand it, though. I have thoroughly pissed off so many of my former listeners who are Hillary Clinton supporters who have totally abandoned the program and went someplace else. And now I'm pissing off the Obama supporters who are just absolutely convinced I'm a traitor to the Democratic Party. For, among other things, I had Gary Gordon on the program the other night, a delegate from the Peace and Freedom Party in Los Angeles to that party's convention in Sacramento, California, where they nominated Ralph Nader to be the candidate. All I've ever said is that Nader, if you go to Nader's website and look at his positions, they are what the Democratic Party used to stand for and should stand for now. Obama is no more of a liberal than McCain is. And McCain is no more of a conservative than Bush was. So now, and I don't mind this. This is cool. This is fine. This is why they pay me the high five figures to come in here every night. And if I say something, if I, you know, point out the fact that Barack Obama just voted for a FISA bill that is worse than the one that preceded it, which guts the Fourth Amendment. If I point that out, you see,
If I point out that Barack Obama is not in favor of single-payer health care, that he's not in favor of ending this globalization, that he's not in favor of environmental controls, that he is in favor of offshore drilling, if I point this out, Paula, you see, all of a sudden I'm a traitor to the Democratic Party. Well, to the people who believe that, I just say kiss my grits. Yeah, I really don't give a damn anymore. Either you're going to be a Democrat or you're not. Barack Obama's not a Democrat. End of message. EOM, as they say. Now, I'm sorry. You didn't call in to hear me rant.
No. That's fine. That's fine. Rant away. I do a lot of it myself. So I get tired of hearing myself. So it's nice to hear you.
Yeah,
but even what I called about was, you know, about everyone getting on you for saying, well, maybe McCain should win.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about that. I've been thinking about that a lot. In fact, I've had this theory that the Republicans really don't want to win this time around.
I don't think they do. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was, you know, just the fact the way their primaries went.
Mm-hmm. Nobody showed up.
Oh, my God. It was
Nobody came out. I think as stupid as the Republicans are, I think they realize, the rank-and-file Republicans, they realize what a mess their party has made of everything. And since Republicans are not creative, they're not pro-life in the overall sense, they are not pro-environment, they are not pro-planet Earth, what they are is absolutely negative. I think what they want to do is to see Barack Obama become president so they can sit back and say, see, look what he's doing. He can't solve anything.
Exactly.
So why give it to Obama? Why put Obama in that situation? Let Obama go back to the Senate for 4 more years, and in 2012, then let him be president. Oh, my God.
The only thing that frightens me when you say that, because I'm not to the point where I think, all right, let McCain win. I'm not to that point yet.
Right.
Because what frightens me is, I honestly, even if Democrats had a veto-proof majority, do you trust them to actually vote?
Well, now, wait a second.
You know what I mean? If McCain, right, vetoes something, do you actually trust them to, like, well, not just let the veto sit and, like, oh, we'll get it next time?
But if I can't trust the Democrats with the Republican president, how can I trust the Democrats with the Democratic president? The tendency would be for Obama or Joe Blow or McCain Mary Smith, anybody who gets in office in the executive branch, if all of a sudden they think, Jesus, I can do anything I want to do.
Well, I think what the whole thing is, with, at least with we would hope that Obama wouldn't veto
bills
that we'd want passed. I mean, that's the difference. Like, okay.
Well, he might. He might. Remember what Molly Ivins famously said? You got to dance with the one that brung you. Barack Obama, I realize he's gotten all these millions of small contributions, but look who is advising Barack Obama. That's what I've said several times. Look at his panel of advisors, and nobody will do that. You take a look at his panel of advisors, and you see supply-side economists. You see people from the so-called Chicago school. You see some of these neocons. I mean, the whole thing is starting to stink. And he's an attractive man. He gives great speech. He's wonderful to listen to. He inspires me. I want to jump up and become an American again when I hear him. And then I look at what he's doing, what he's voting on. Even as he's a candidate for president talking about change, he's voting to end the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. No one can argue with that. That's what he voted on doing. And now he comes out and says, well, offshore drilling, sure. Why not?
I can't, there's no argument with you there.
But when
I'm so torn. You know what? I've decided to wait until November. Let's see how things are going to play out. If it looks like New Jersey will go to McCain, and I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think Jersey would go to New Jersey.
Oh, and I'm loving the Bruce, by the way.
You what?
Yeah, I said, you know, I'm loving the Bruce.
Oh,
we're,
yeah.
We're legally obligated here to love Bruce.
I know. Well, who doesn't love Bruce Springsteen music? Oh, my God. For some reason, Springsteen reminds me, it was a terrible time back then in the Reagan years.
And the end of the Carter years, it was a terrible time economically in this country, but Springsteen always reminded me of somebody who was so solidly working class. If that was part of his stage persona, I don't care. He was, you know, the E Street Band, that whole thing that came out of New Jersey was so just like, yeah, I just want to hang out with him. That's all. Just like, ooh. And I, when, you know, when we play the music tonight, and it just reminds me of those times. I wasn't as focused, I guess, on political stuff. There was a period when I just took a break from it all. And Springsteen, just, you know, he's part of that rock pantheon that, you know, you can't listen to it without remembering all sorts of stuff, most of which were good.
Yep. And regarding his, that's not just a stage persona. I know people who live in the Shore area, and everybody has a story about running into Bruce at a bar down, you know, on the Jersey Shore. Or, and that he's, you know, he's just a regular guy. He's just a guy from Jersey.
Yeah. Well, I love his music, and I always have. I think he's a great songwriter. And it just comes from the gut. Hey, Paula, I got to go. Thanks.
Have a great night, Mike.
Okay, you too. Appreciate you checking in. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Ever you are we. Counting on America, counting on America, counting on America coming through. Counting on America, counting on America, counting on America coming through. There ain't no
Forty-one shots. 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch, our technical managers for this program. Creative staff, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Sharon Gordy. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay.
We need some quiet. And we'll take that ride across this bloody river to the other side.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Mark in Hiroshima, Japan, a Vermont expat, writes, Mike, the world teeters on the brink of devastating environmental, economic, and warmongering catastrophe, and you say don't vote for Obama? Another Republican president in McCain will push this over the edge. You have truly lost it. After years of listening to you, I have indeed turned off your program. America and the world needs Obama desperately. You, on the other hand, we can live without. Whoa. Stunned by your stance on Obama's candidacy. Sincerely, Mark, listening in Japan. Okay. Bill from Ottawa writes, Mike, it's hard to stomach the idiocy displayed by some of your callers and emailers. They seem to actually believe that Obama is some kind of savior. He is not. As you said, he is a get-along, go-along Democrat, or just another tool of the oligarchy, as I would say. And even if he is the second coming of Christ, he is Christ with a broken and nearly destroyed country. What can he do? Not much. Pick any problem, whether it's the economy or the wars, any problem, and it will occupy every waking second of whomever is president, while the multitude of other social cancers and infections will be ignored and untreated. As for the rest of your problems, and they are legion, they would just get worse. No, if Obama is elected, he will be as hated as Bush in just a few years, not because he's worse or even the same, but because he has someone He has somehow managed to convince the world that he will be different. He won't be. He cannot be. The great disillusionment is coming. Then comes the permanent Republican majority. No, you are correct. The best course for America is to elect McCain. It's this intelligent, strategic view that just may succeed in ridding us of these foul creeps forever. Well, you know, whether or not, you know, you've decided to turn off the program, like our listener in Japan has, and people here in the States, you know, I've gotten a lot of emails tonight that said, screw you, I've had enough of your gibberish. You're just as bad as Ed Schultz or Rush Limbaugh. Okay, you know, I mean, that I can live with that. I can. I really don't believe, though, that Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or any Democrat out there right now is going to be able to handle the incredible whirlpool, maelstrom of disasters that this Bush crime family has whipped up in 8 years. I say dump it right in the laps of the sons of bitches who created it, and that's the Republican Party. If the Republican Party figurehead this go-around is John McCain, give it to him. Just give it to him. And if we do not have enough confidence in the Democrats in the legislative branch, remember, I think a lot of people in this country have forgotten that the president doesn't do anything. He has veto power. He does not make law. The House and the Senate make law. But everybody's forgotten that. The House and the Senate wage war. The House and the Senate increase or decrease taxes. The president does not do that. But so many people have lost sight of that because we had Pappy Bush and Reagan and now this abomination that's squatting in the House, White House for the past 8 years. What the hell is wrong with people who don't realize where the real power lies in our form of battered tripartite government? So you're looking to Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or whomever to be another George Bush. That's what you expect is going to happen. That the next president will use the same dictatorial powers as the previous president, but the next president will do it for the sake of goodness and justice and truth. You are not that stupid. Are you? Are you? Please. If you want reform, if you want change, then elect people to the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate who will bring about that change. The president does not. Now, for those of you who have abandoned the program, all I can say is don't let the door hit you in the ass. If it's too hot in this kitchen, then get the hell out. That's so simple, isn't it? I mean, that's what I would do. If I'm listening to somebody who all of a sudden becomes a traitor, as far as I'm concerned, goodbye, adios, sayonara, see you later, take care, keep it lit, see you on the next go-around. So if that's how this program affects you, go. Goodbye. Thanks for being here as long as you were. For those of you who stick around, I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Good work conquering, and the truth will set me free. And I know someday I'll find the key. And I know somewhere I'll find the key. Well, it seems like I've been playing the game way too long. And it seems the game I played has made you strong. But when the game is over, I won't walk out a loser. Yeah, I know that I'll walk out of here.